Blog Talk Radio.
All right, listen up, y'all. I'm y'all's substitute teacher, Mr. Garvey. I taught school for 20 years in the inner city, so don't even think about messing with me. Y'all feel me? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a roll here. Jay Quellen. Where's Jay Quellen at? No Jay Quellen here? Yeah.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's going to be. Y'all want to play. Okay, then. I've got my eye on you, Jay Quellen. Balake. Where is Balake at? No Balake here today. Yes, sir.
My name is Blake.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Blake.
What? Do you want to go to war, Balake?
No.
Because we could go to war.
No.
I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself. D-Nice. Is there a D-Nice? If one of y'all says some silly-ass name, this whole class is going to feel my wrath. Now, D-Nice.
Do you mean Denise?
Oh, no. Bitch!
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Yes, yes. Boy, is the time flying. It really is. We're talking about July 31st. August is coming up. The year is about to be up. Amazing stuff, folks. Again, this is the Afro Nerd. Welcome to the midweek edition. Why can't I speak? The midweek in review edition. There you go. The midweek in review edition of Afro Nerd Radio, folks. It's going to be a quick blast, about an hour. So hold on to your coats. Hold on to your horses. We have a lot to discuss. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Let's go to a real quick funk blast. And then when we return, we'll get into the discourse. We're going to talk more about Don Lemon and MSNBC and CNN and MSNBC and Fox, just these cable wars. It's going down, folks. We got to discuss it. We'll unpack it. But first, this is Funk in Deep Freeze by the Hot Jazz Biscuits. We'll be right back. And again, let's groove.
find Corey's life nothing short of looking pretty. Up in the Bob City, hustles on paper chasing. Reveals my whole style, luchified to the max. My pleasure over sacks, broads cap me off, whoa. It's unheard of, please see him drop to the knees. With funk and deep freeze, visions of the Cotton Club. Harlem in the 40s, parties to the break of dawn. In love with Lena Horne, scripts laced in black and white. With segregation tight, a world war the same night. The Joe Louis fight, pop remember those days. And give the real too, but this is now when I'm more handsome than you. So you taught me well, daddy, what? Let's represent my grandfather's spirit 100%. He's in my corner for life now, and always will be. My angle in degrees, the funk deep free.
Funk and Deep Freeze by the Hot Jazz Biscuits, folks. Again, this is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd, and I could not do the show without any kind of real efficacy, without my partner in white collar crime. He is the captain, and he is needed on the bridge, most definitely. The Negroes have escaped the asylum. Yes, they have, and a few zany white folks to accompany them. Captain, it's your time. Let's get to it.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Sir Afro Nerd, do you read me loud and clear?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get into something. It's called the stats, the statistics. This is why sometimes people don't like the captain. For most part, you do. But sometimes I touch you emotionally. I rub up the limbic system in your brain, and it just fires, and you begin to lose it. And then you say, I don't like that guy. But for most part, you do like me. But here we go. Let me begin. According to the U.S. Census in 2007, 5.8% of all people in married families lived in poverty. Only 5.8%, right? You get that in 2007. As did 26.6% of all persons in a single-parent households, and 19.1% of all persons living alone. Let me start that again because you may have missed it. You know, sometimes, you know, numbers, you know, arithmetic, it messes with people, especially when you throw a fraction in there. All of a sudden, they're mathematical geniuses, but once you hit them with a fraction, they just lose it. Let's start again. According to the U.S. Census in 2007, 5.8% of all people in married families lived in poverty, as did 26.6% of all persons in single-parent households, and 19.1% of all persons living alone. Now listen to this where I throw the knockout punch. Brace yourself. Put on your seatbelt. More than 75% of all poor households are headed by women in 2012. Hold on, let me hit that again. More than 75% of all poor, that is poor, households are headed by women in 2012. Now, based on these statistics, one can theoretically postulate that the best defense against being on the poverty line is being married. Now, I won't get into the demographics. If I get into the demographics of the statistics, I might run you out of the building. So I won't. I'll save you all of that. Now, someone might say, but you know, you guys preach education all the time. Of course we do. But if you compare the statistics together, education is right on the behind of being married. And if you really want to shore up the situation where you will not end on the poverty line, based on the statistics, not according to the captain, based on the statistics, not according to a captain, what you would need is an educated household and to be married. Now, if you look at America, they'll tell you, you have more people in school than ever. That's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you that. We have more people going to college now than ever, even though they changed the curriculum to allow more people to go to college than ever. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other show. But then you get these statistics that only 25% of the black males in New York City graduate from high school. Maybe they get their diplomas later on, but when they're supposed to, by the time that is the age of 18, they have not done that. So one can theoretically postulate that America in general is obviously moving away from marriage, right? And moving away. Certain demographics are moving away from education. One can theoretically postulate this. Now, as I said before, based on the statistics, the best defense against poverty is marriage, and then education is a half a step behind. So if you do not want to end up on the poverty line, the two are the way to go based on the statistics. And this is a very huge statistic. When you say more than 75% of all poor households are headed by women. Now, I'm not here to demonize the one woman that has the child. Things happen. I'm not here to demonize you. You know, I'm not here to demonize the woman that was married and she has three kids and then it did not work out. I'm not here to do that. The statistics might demonize you, but I won't. I realize things do happen. I understand that. But the 3 and 4 baby mama business, I will demonize you. Because according to the statistics here, it says you really should slit your throat at that given point. That's what the statistics say. But that does not mean that you cannot make it. That means according to per rule. According to the statistics, does not mean you will not be the exception. What does that mean? As per rule, lawyers and doctors and scientists do not come from the hood, but there are a couple of individuals that do come from the hood. You understand? That's what I mean. As per rule, they do not come from the hood, but you will find a few doctors and lawyers and maybe one or two scientists, mathematicians that do come from the hood. But as per rule, they do not come from there. So I want you to just hold that information, think about it, and especially this one. More than 75% of all poor households are headed by women in 2012. There you have it. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd. Let's get it started, sir.
Excellent. Captain, as always, you're always giving our audience the most insightful meanderings, insightful musings. I must confess that. I took some of that 5-hour caffeine stuff because I had a rather long day, and I must be me on the mic. So on occasion, I will take some kind of caffeine enhancement to get me going because I don't want to disappoint our audience. And again, folks, if you'd like to join in, it's 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. The captain knows I try to keep things focused. I think we both try to keep things laser focused. After this broadcast, I'm going to go to the gym again, really on this program. Of course, we have, as a workout partner, someone from the inner sanctum, Sally V, that pops her head in ever so often. So I'm really on her because she's obtaining a degree shortly in computer science. So we're always talking a lot of smack. And I just confessed, Captain, to myself that the reason why I work out with her is because, one, I like to brag to her that I am the Wolverine. I do not age. I am the Wolverine. And if she follows my directions, she will be physically fit. So she keeps me in line. I'm keeping her in line. So she's part of the inner sanctum and so forth. Anyway, folks, that's just me just giving you some of my inner thoughts. Let's get to the matters at hand for the Midweek in Review edition. I'm sick and tired of talking about race and racism to a certain degree. But it's the flavor of the moment. Because of the Trayvon Martin, I should say, the George Zimmerman verdict, race and racism is back in vogue as far as the discussion of it. And I just hope that black folk are not going to rest on their laurels during this discussion, because it seems like it's the go-to subject for black folk. It's the go-to subject. It's the subject that we're comfortable with in really discussing and waxing about and deconstructing. That's one thing that many black folk are great at, is deconstructing and explaining their racist or the racist environment. And I'm a little tired of it, to be honest with you. I just think that, sure, racism exists, although I don't think it is your grandfather's racism. It just isn't. It's not your grandfather's racism. Maybe it's even more sophisticated than your grandfather's racism, but your grandfather's and your grandmother's racism was far more visceral, far more brutal, far more in your face, and far more pervasive, I think, to a certain degree. Now it's you have to be sharper now, because you may not realize a racist moment is before you. You may not realize what's going on. Perhaps it's more insidious, but that shouldn't stop you. Shouldn't stop you from moving forward and from pressing on. I guess I'm also tired of hearing exclusively from black folks, from the black community, exclusively about their feelings of race. This is a far more multi-layered, multicultural society that we're living in. It's not 1950 where you're talking about black and white. The world is not black and white. It's more black, white, yellow, brown, red. That's more of how the world is now. And I'd like to hear from other ethnicities, other racial groups, other groups that also have a darker hue as to how they feel. And actually from Africans who are the recent immigrants to the Americas. I'd like to get their opinions on race. Do they see it the way that black folks see it? And are they as invested in it as black folks are in it? So I wanted to talk about what I've been seeing. I've been noticing that we are really in the midst of some kind of weird journalistic WWF mixed martial arts deal. What the hell is Afriner talking about? If you do a cursory review of what's happening on cable news, you'll see everyone is waxing personal on race, personal barbs, personal shout-outs. Whether it's Bill O'Reilly, whether it's Don Lemon, whether it's Reverend Al, whether it's Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, everyone has something to say about race. So when you look at this stuff, I find it fascinating, and I find it very disturbing. Very disturbing that I gave up my progressive liberal card a long time ago. But I never discount the historical record when the progressives lay out the racial argument or the infrastructural components of racism. I never discount – I may get into the victimization element of it, ladies and gentlemen, but I never discount what they say historically. The historical record is the historical record is the historical record. how do we get from under it, though? That's my question. So what gets me is, as of late, Don Lemon from CNN, weekend correspondent, he weighed in a rather Cosby-esque tone last week, and he has had to make the rounds, and he's been catching some heat. I can't recollect the lady's name. I think she's somewhat new to MSNBC. And she tweeted out something about, you can expect someone to be a turncoat. You can expect someone to do the turncoat thing when they want to move up the ranks. So now you have a woman of color that's lambasting Don Lemon for his words about the five things that black folks need to be doing that really can't be deconstructed, something that I have seen, witnessed in my face. He even talked about littering and keeping your neighborhood clean. Let's knock it off with the pants sagging. Let's learn how to stay together with our families, try to keep our families intact and not make babies out of wedlock. I mean, they're the gold standard, the rules that really aren't controversial. Somehow they're made to be controversial, and what's disturbing about the liberals is that now it's gotten to the point where the liberals will defend black folks' honor for not listening to this. Now, what is that? Now, Don Lemon is not, for all intents and purposes, what I can tell, he's not a conservative, but he's not allowed to take some conservative talking points. They're not really conservative talking points, but they're being positioned to be a conservative thing. And you know, black folks, you know, they can't be put on the conservative platform. See, these are just things. They're not conservative. They're not liberal. They're just things. They're things that have to be addressed. They're not conservative things. Because Don Lemon shouted out Bill O'Reilly, all hell is broken loose. Now it's become such a fractional thing that you can't shout out someone that you normally disagree with. On occasion, it might be something that someone says that you might not agree with their entire platform, but there's something that this person says that you may say, okay, you know what? This time, I have to give it up to you. The liberals aren't allowing that. The same critique that they will give the conservatives, and maybe rightfully so, they're doing it themselves now. All right, I'm going to go through some clips. We're going to wade through this water of just nonsense. It's nonsense about straight talk, things that we have to do. It's not to say maybe Lemon made the mistake of giving the impression that it's the entirety of blackness, that all black folk have to abide by these rules, that they're not black folk that are already doing this. Maybe he should have couched it in a way to say there's a segment of the population, a segment of the black community that might want to partake in these rules. Maybe he should have couched it that way. But I'm not so sure if he did it that way, if he did it the best way and the most sophisticated way, I still think it would have been considered controversial. I don't know if he would have gotten out of this clean if he had had a caveat attached to it. I don't know. All right, so we're going to go to these clips. Let's unpack. Feel free to join on in if you have an opinion. 646-915-9620. First up, this is Don Lemon on The View. Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, that crew. So let's listen to Don Lemon. He's making the rounds now, ladies and gentlemen, because of this Cosby-esque tone. No, you know, and you can't channel Cosby nowadays. You can't channel Dr. Cosby. That's a no-no for some reason. All right, so let's get into this clip, and then we will unpack it. Hold on.
You also have with you the fabulous Don Lemon. And Don, you've been at the, you're getting God. You behind. Oh, my God. They are busting you
like this morning.
Twitter, everybody. Oh, what the hell? What did you say? What happened? What did you say?
Anna was there. She helped.
Yeah, well, I'm not taking it.
I have a no talking point segment on CNN, and I just said that I gave advice to African Americans about how suggestions about
on
how
CNN,
you might.
On CNN, you're the anchor. Yes.
Yeah. One was pull up your pants, mm-hmm. the sagging pants
one,
thing.
Pull up your pants.
And not just African Americans do that, but just that's what we've been talking about mm-hmm. after the George Zimmerman verdict. Mm-hmm. I said stop dropping the N word like you're saying and the or he so much. I said respect where you live and finish school and also be an involved parent if you either plan for a kid or stop having a kid on wedlock. I don't know what to...
So people just got all over you?
Well, I think
Which
part is controversial about what you said in terms of people coming, getting on you?
Oh, I think that's, I don't understand what, that's advice my mother gave me in kindergarten.
But you know, and it's crazy. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but maybe we have to up our game. Because I think it's, when I was a teenager, I was saying to Anna, you know, we wore mini skirts and they were way too high. And our mother said, why are you dressing like, and you said, this is the way it's supposed to be. So I think we have to up our game in terms of what we're saying. Like, if you see stuff, you out there, you protesting, you doing this, you have to then educate yourself to find out why these laws affect you. To me, keep your pants where they are. Learn what's going on in the world. I think for me, young people just need to, like, step up their game.
Maybe they could wear their pants at their waist and educate themselves.
See, I don't mind the pants.
Pants is just a symbol of respect for me, respecting yourself and respecting others. And my what I was saying was not how you end racism. I was saying self-empowerment, how you help yourself, because you have to. There are issues in the African American community that go beyond white people, right?
Yeah.
But you can fix things yourself, and
but
those are things that we can do.
A lot of the controversial stuff also came because you said Bill O'Reilly's criticism didn't go far enough. In the black community, and I think a lot of people took umbrage with that of, you know,
because
of Bill O'Reilly, because I don't want to give Bill O'Reilly a license to say anything because he's never been a young black man growing up in the situations that a lot of them grow up in. So I think that a lot of people were saying, when you were going, Bill O'Reilly should have gone farther.
But
in
I
his
can
criticism.
As a young black man.
But you can, but I think it's a blanket statement as well. I agree that there are things that need to be done, but I think, you know, trying to apply blanket statements to every situation is not always the best, because I think, you know, because, you know, I lived in Harlem and I remember a boy came over to our house and he was like, can you just give me money to get to my grandmother's because my mom hasn't shown up in 3 days, and his pants were sagging. So I think, you know, telling all of them, all the young black men, pull up your pants is but a Band-Aid, because I don't know if that's going to do it. You know what I'm saying?
No,
just pulling up your pants.
Yeah.
Just stop saying the N-word.
For a reason, possibly.
I think maybe that
deeper.
Needs to be just... Don is a friend of mine, and, you know, he is so proud of his culture. He's so proud of his race. And he's doing it from a place of love.
I think Bill O'Reilly comes from that place, which is why I'm not giving him license, I think.
Even if he does, why then? Why, when people are critiquing, aren't they critiquing the things that are useful? To me, you know, the fact that we can look at a state and go, hey, I didn't know this law was there. How come? Why didn't we know? Because we're not paying attention. That's what young people have to do.
You have to say the N-word should not be used by rappers or anybody then?
I don't lie. I think the proliferation of that word is just, I think it's disrespectful. I think people died for that word, mm-hmm. and I don't think that it should just be dropped. I think if, as you guys have talked about on your panel, if it's pertinent to the conversation, especially as a journalist, and you say the word.
Well, you are constantly getting hit for saying something about black people. Don Lemon was reading a piece and said the N-word. People lost their minds. They were like, oh, he said the N-word.
Yeah.
What? It does.
And then when he says we shouldn't say the N-word, he gets attacked.
So it's your
difference between saying the N-word. You say someone said the N-word and you say someone said.
Yeah.
There is a difference. There's a visceral difference.
Then
you
think it's yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well,
we should stop saying the N-word, not because it's politically incorrect. It's because it's incorrect.
I want to open this bag of things up. We'll be right back with more Hot Topics.
All right, folks, once again, that was Don Lemon and the ladies of The View. Now, I want the captain to weigh in a moment, but I do want to read something that I believe Sergio Mims, our friend from Chi-Town, sent to my attention. And it was something that made me shake my head again as to how some people are perceiving this Don Lemon deal, and how, you know, Cosby is any reference to Cosby or anything about empowerment or improvement or things that we need to do. This whole thing, I mean, there's so many things. We spoke about this behind the scenes, Captain, where there's so many things going on where when someone goes into this kind of discourse about some things you really need to start checking for, some self-improvement, some self-critique, you get the response of, well, this is not going to make racism go away, so why bother? And it's an asinine response. It's not. I've mentioned this before, and again, for sure, Afro-Nerdism is spreading, for sure. Because now I'm hearing more and more people. It seems like we've reached a head. We've reached to a point. I mentioned this before. We're stuck in a corner now. Black folk, black culture is stuck in a corner where people are just fed up with the obvious. They're just fed up. You're going to have to do something instead of complaining. And it's not, but the whole deal of, well, you know, telling someone to pick up their pants, you know, about your, having concern for your appearance, having concern for where you live, just the basics. Well, why bother doing that? Because it won't make racism go away. As if that's the reason why you do these things. You do these things for yourself, for self-empowerment, so you're ready, so you are that soldier. You can't go to war. No soldier goes to war, hopefully, ill-prepared. Who does that? But you can't go to war when you're waddling because your pants are three-quarters down your waist. I mean, this is obvious. So I want to read this thing real briefly that was sent to, I believe, from Sergio. And it is very much, it shows you just what's out here and the mentality of how people perceive these type of critiques. As you know, if you listen to these people, there's no reason for self-improvement unless it's going to make racism go away, unless it makes the bad, bad wolf go away. It sounds childish. So this is from a website called Ashy, From Ashy to Classy. And the blog posting is entitled "The Gas Face: Don Lemon, Sagging Pants Ain't Gonna Get Us There." So you know where this is going. Let me repeat that. The Gas Face, which is a reference to an old school rap record. The Gas Face: Don Lemon, Sagging Pants Ain't Gonna Get Us There. Since the slaves were in the fields of America, black people in a general sense have always wanted to get there. What is there? Well, no one really knows, but it's got to be better than this. In a general sense, there means equality, prosperity, and non-bigotry. The whole idea of acceptance and getting there can be very contrived and heavy-handed. I will admit that black people have had many of a misstep in getting there. Yet no one has really come up with a concrete way of getting there because no one has a real answer about getting there. The idea of getting there is in many instances shrouded around acceptance at any cost, while others revolving around respect as a human being. Don Lemon this past Saturday, not only does he give credence to one Fox News' Bill O'Reilly in his ideas of what black people need to do to get there. Lemon proceeded to give his own five-pointed manifesto on CNN of what black people need to do to get there. The issue with people like Don Lemon and others with his pathology is that sagging pants isn't stopping black people from getting there. I get what Don Lemon was trying to say. He was speaking in summation about African Americans' personal responsibility. But isn't personal responsibility something not just African Americans, but all Americans need to uphold? Lemon, in his comments, offered nothing that has not been spoken about ad nauseum with no real practical solutions. He spoke about sagging pants, littering, saying nigga, and children out of wedlock being the reasons that black people can't get there. When actually his tone and riding in on the Bill O'Reilly horse made him look like Split Star to a la Busta Rhymes. His comments looked in many ways as he was inferring that those Negroes he was critiquing were the reason he and other black people like himself were not there, and that maybe if these other black people could hold up the end of this bargain, I could get all I worked for.
Okay, you get the answer. I'll just read one more thing here. Lemon also didn't try to throw in the socioeconomics of his area in Harlem, though the last I heard wasn't Harlem basically gentrified now. Lemon's comments were most interesting considering that he is also a gay black male who has all kinds of red herrings thrown about his lifestyle, from AIDS being spread to gay men to many other homophobic ideas. All right. You get the idea. Captain, what are your thoughts?
Well, the whole thing with whether it's Don Lemon or O'Reilly, they are opening up a conversation. Things start with a conversation. And as you can see, it's an emotionally charged conversation because there's a lot of pain there for black people. But put aside Don Lemon and put aside O'Reilly for a minute. Now, I will channel Black Achievement's energy. Now, what I mean by that, he said something very profound when he was on this show. Can you compete? Can you compete? Now, I'm not talking about all black people, not all, but some of you. Can you compete with 9 tattoos? You don't have at least a high school diploma. Your pants are sagging. You cannot put together a decent sentence. Obviously, no. You cannot compete. Now, let's travel way back into slavery, before 1865. The black man and the black woman did not control their own personal space. Let me repeat that. The black man, the black woman, did not control their own personal space. And you were called nigger. Niggers do not control their own personal space. They brought a woman to you, according to historical record, because none of us were there, but we do have the historical record. They brought a woman to you. You slept with her. They bought and sold your children. They did the same thing with you as the male and the female. You did not control your personal space. You were told when to work, when you were whipped. This is according to personal, this is according to historical record. You did not control your own personal space. Then I free you, but you're nothing more than a freed slave. Now, some of the freed slaves were able to figure it out as we progressed through time. But then some of us later on started to embody the nigger and believe that they are nigger. That's one of the reasons why you move the word around so much. Now, you have to remember, memes, which are ideas, a little more than ideas, but that's another show, but they're ideas, and memes will transfer easily through a race of people, through time, through generation. Some of us have very bad memes left over from slavery. Now, what is controlling your own space in circa 2013? You can control whether or not you get a high school diploma. You know why? Because a high school diploma is designed for any idiot to pass. If you're even stupid, what do? They put you in slower classes. If you have a learning disability, they'll put you in special ed. They're trying to get you at least a high school diploma. That you can control. The next thing you can control, personal space. Personal space is the outer wedlock babies. You can put on a condom. You understand? The woman can seek different types of birth control. You can do this. You could do this. Controlling personal space means being responsible for your actions that you can control. But you see, when you embody nigga, the nigga was never in control of their actions. Now, you see, here's the problem with the word. When you hear these entertainers, they're not too sophisticated. And a lot of black people, some of our leaders, are not too sophisticated because they don't understand this. The word itself carries means. So when these idiots walking around and they're on these shows and say, we changed the word around. No, you didn't. The word is a derogatory term for black people. Nigga does not control their own space. So a lot of you right now, not all, are embodying nigger. See, when you start to control your personal space, you link up with someone else that's doing the same, and it goes on and on and on. Then you're no longer controlling personal space. You start to push out psychokinetically a reality. So instead of just controlling the personal space on your block, now you start controlling the next block because you have other people doing the same thing due to the energetic link. Then you control the neighborhood. Then from the neighborhood, you begin to control a race of people. But it starts with controlling your own personal space. Niggers do not control their own personal space. And what I said right there is something that everyone can do. And here's what happens. I know the first thing you'll say is, well, what if, you know, the person comes in and they already have 2 and 3 babies and everything else? The control of the personal space starts before that. Let me explain for the gormless, feral, menstrual beast that cannot understand. Let me explain. If you are in control of your personal space and you know if you lay up, that's the terminology that they use for having sex with the woman, lay up with this particular woman and you may get her pregnant, you might say, wait a minute, this girl's a hood rat. I'm not a hood rat. If I get her pregnant, this is going to be a problem. I'm not going to lay up with her. Let me make a different choice. In case, even though I am controlling my personal space, this is not my best choice. The woman begins to do the same thing. And you see, there becomes a paradigm shift in the type of men you begin to date and the type of females you begin to date. There is a shift because you are controlling your own space. And then that same shift, you start to link up with people that do the same thing. And then you push the reality out. And that's how you begin to change your block, your neighborhood. And then you can begin to change the race. But if there isn't anybody who wants to control their personal space and embody nigger, you might as well slit our throats right now. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, you know, Captain, there's a clip I wanted to pull. I didn't have enough time to actually get the audio, but it's something I'm pretty sure our audience could definitely look up. You could simply Google this or go to YouTube. It's a YouTube clip. I think it has the interview in its entirety, but it's something I saw years ago that I never forgot, and it was disturbing. It was on the Chris Rock show, Chris Rock's HBO interview show, and he was interviewing Reverend Jesse Jackson. And I remember – it was a moment in the interview where, okay, we know that Chris Rock is a comedian, but he is the type of comedian that will put out little nuggets of truth. So he mentioned something about his days living in Brooklyn in his parents' brownstone and how it was custom for him to have to clean up the front of his brownstone and to remove the garbage, put the garbage in place and to keep things tidy in front of his brownstone. But he asked Jesse, he said, listen, can you explain to me, you know, why is it that some of our people don't want to keep their own properties clean? The tenants to the left of me, the tenants to the right of me, they weren't keeping their residences clean. Something to that, I'm paraphrasing, but it has something to do with, you know, why can't they take the garbage out, though? And Jesse just kind of scoffed at him, never answered the question, and proceeded to kind of like rub his head and put him in a chokehold or put him in a headlock. And I said that was a legitimate question. You know what I'm getting at, Kath? The moment that someone is asking for personal responsibility, even the alleged leadership, they're not prepared to give a solid answer. And the best this guy could do was put the host in a headlock and to shirk it off. It's the weirdest thing I ever saw. It's probably on YouTube somewhere. Just simply put in Chris Rock, Jesse Jackson interview. Hopefully I can pull the clip, the audio for the next show. But that showed me what has become endemic in black political speak. That you can't broach these topics. And then when you go on, just with the from ashy to classy blog, it's disturbing to read something that can so easily be deconstructed. All the non sequiturs, all the phony analogies, all the butthurt, Captain, when it's not about racism. It's about empowerment. And there seems to be this disbelief that we have all these problems, and in order to correct them, the measures must be complicated. There's no way that we can solve these problems in a simple, matter-of-fact way. But everybody else seems to be able to do this, though. You know, I was out earlier during the day, and you come across just by happenstance. Just by happenstance, it's the summertime. I'm seeing I saw a young Asian couple. Might have been brother and sister. Might have been a couple, but they had to be in their teens. And it is a common stereotype to see bespectacled Asian youth walking around with a book. It looked the male appeared to be walking around with some kind of textbook in the summertime. I mean, that stereotype, although it is a stereotype, it's a good stereotype. And I remember growing up, the stereotype before the hip-hop thing came about was to see black youth in the middle of the day or even during school time bouncing a basketball. There were times that when I was carrying my books to go to school, when the other kids were going to school, I did not see them with a book in their hands, 7 o'clock in the morning, but they had a basketball in their hands. How do you go to school with no books in your hands, but you have a basketball in your hand? I mean, this is something that was common practice. That was a stereotype. I mean, there's such a thing as a good stereotype. We know about the model minority. We know about there are negatives to having that stereotype if you were to speak to a person of Asian descent. But the success rate and what comes out of studying and being with your parents and these things that Don Lemon laid out that other groups appear to be doing appear to work, as simple as they may be. So it's very funny to me that you can't even entertain that some of these things can't be simple. Why can't it be a simple solution? Or why can't we try it and see what happens? Or why is it that you must? Why is it it's an assumption that if you were to do these things, the expectation is for racism to go away? It's not about racism. It's about you. It's about you doing it for you. All right, I'm going to play a clip of Bill O'Reilly responding to The View. See, everybody's shouting at each other. There's another clip, if we have time, with a open letter from Reverend Sharpton to Bill O'Reilly. So no one is taking this down well. So this is Bill O'Reilly responding to what happened, responding to all his critics, but specifically to what happened on The View. Sherry Shepherd, hold on.
Nancy Pelosi going to the aid of the grievance industry. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Today, the House Democratic Steering and Policy Committee, headed by Mrs. Pelosi, held hearings entitled A Conversation on Race and Justice in America. The problem, there wasn't much diversity in that hearing. In fact, the three panelists, Morris Dees, Eugene Robinson, and Maya Wiley, are all very far-left people who believe America is essentially an unjust country. So the hearing was a farce, a waste of taxpayer money, and a way to stick it to the USA again. The problem with this kind of propaganda is that many people believe it, especially overseas, where they don't understand what the race hustle is all about. A congressional hearing carries some weight, and folks not familiar with the players can take away a wrong impression. That's why the fallout from the Zimmerman verdict is so damaging. The world is forming an impression of America by listening to stuff like this.
I think this is, for many Americans, George, just another piece of evidence of the incontrovertible contempt that this nation often shows and displays for black men.
They are already suspicious of you because you are walking while black, which apparently is a crime in this country.
I think it's possible. If the police had got a black Zimmerman, the question would be whether they would have beat him to death and then threw handcuffs on him and dragged him into the precinct.
I didn't sleep for 2 days. You know, I was really angry about it, that, you know,
the thing that we all knew, it was still a bit of racism in America, but, like, you know, for it to be so blatant.
That's right, Jay-Z. America is blatantly racist. That's why you're a multimillionaire hobnobbing with President Obama, because we are a racist society. Good grief. Talking Points is fed up with this kind of misleading rhetoric. I believe the USA is basically a noble nation. We have our flaws, but there's no doubt that Americans are the most humane people on earth. Just look at what we give to other nations around the world, Haiti included. And our social system gives the most amount of people the best chance to pursue happiness. Otherwise, why would millions of folks be trying to sneak in here? Most of them minorities. It is long past time for honest people to call out the racial charlatans and to take exception to false statements. Yesterday, CNN anchor Don Lemon, who believes that African Americans should be proactive in solving their problems, was chastised by Sherry Shepherd on The View.
I think a lot of people took umbrage with that of, you know, because of Bill O'Reilly. Because I don't want to give Bill O'Reilly a license to say anything, because he's never been a young black man growing up in the situations that a lot of them grow up in.
So if Ms. Shepherd is honest, if she's honest, then she would have to keep quiet during 75% of the topics on The View, because she's not a white woman and can't possibly know that experience. How foolish is this? And it gets worse. Listen to Georgetown professor Michael Eric Dyson.
Mr. O'Reilly, I'd love to have that conversation about protecting yourself behind white picket fences and Fox News and having digital courage. Come in the streets where you went to Sylvia and were surprised that black people don't throw bananas at each other or swing from trees.
Again, Dyson teaches young Americans at Georgetown University. Today's congressional hearing was a circus. Nancy Pelosi, the ringmaster. Didn't mean anything, but it did prop up the race hustlers. And that's a shame.
All right. I'm going to try to sneak in a little bit of Reverend Al. Well, you know what? I'll say that, because Reverend Al is rather lengthy, and we only got about 6 minutes remaining. O'Reilly loses me a little bit when he starts talking about personal success. That's where he loses me. That's where he goes off the rails. This whole thing of, well, because Jay-Z is a multimillionaire, Jay-Z doesn't speak for all the black folks that are struggling. You know, and then Jay-Z does a poor job of it himself. You know, when we played his clip, and I even heard it on another show, when it was also when they also went in and deciphered what he was saying. He said, well, you know, my being is charity, which tells me you're not doing anything. You know, when there's a whole controversy with him and entertainer, actor, activist Harry Belafonte, his response to Belafonte is, well, I don't need to really do anything from a societal perspective, because just like Obama, I exist, and my existence is enough inspiration. No, not really. That's a real shoddy answer. So not only is Bill O'Reilly's critique of Jay-Z by putting out his success as some kind of point of reference for being American and how great America is, and also Jay-Z himself, both of them are poor descriptors as to what's going on. That was unnecessary. You can't point to Oprah's success or Denzel Washington's success as some kind of point of reference, like, well, these guys have no room to complain because they're so successful. That's not the deal. Where he was right, and what Don Lemon was referencing, was whatever goes down from a societal perspective, you still have to compete, as you just mentioned, Captain. You still have to compete. You still have to do what is necessary. You have to work with what you have. But constantly hampering on racism as if it's 1813 or 1913. It's not 1913. And people in 1913 still managed to get it done with a whole lot less
than someone in 2013. That is the crux of the argument, is how did black folks survive to this point with segregation, with lynching, with outward racism, with Jim Crow, grandfather clauses, I mean, all kinds of nonsense. How did people manage to go to Harvard? How did Paul Robeson manage to go to Princeton and Rutgers? How did he do it? I'm sorry, Columbia, I believe. He went to Columbia and Rutgers. How did he do it? Back in the 1920s, how did he do it? We're not answering those questions. We're still stuck on, well, we might as well, why should we bother to pull up our pants? It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make racism go away. Oh, come on. Am I delusional? Doesn't that sound childish to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The boogeyman won't go away, so why should I pull my pants up? You know, briefly, we only have about 3 minutes remaining. I didn't get a chance to tell the story. But I hate to let these people know, but the pants thing is, the pants really are a deterrent in a real, practical, real-world way. I can only talk about this anecdotally, but I can tell you straight up before my eyes how it works. At some point, I was working for a investment research firm, a.k.a. a boiler room. Not unlike the boiler room from Ben Affleck's movie. I think Vin Diesel was in that movie as well. And the CEO of the investment firm told me to humor a guy that was coming in for an interview. He was a black gentleman, young guy, who came in inappropriately dressed. He came in with saggy pants and the whole nine. And he wanted a position. And the CEO pulled me to the side and said, listen, spend a couple of minutes with this guy, humor him, but then get his ass out of here. Wasn't even a consideration. Now, this young man came ill-prepared, unprepared, dressed in that fashion, and it was a waste of time for everybody. But I was there to humor him, Cap. I was there to humor, and that's exactly what I did, because when I first saw him, I said, okay, this guy can't be serious. So when folks tell you that, well, what's the big deal about your pants sagging, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. And that's a real-world, tangible situation. And I don't understand why this is controversial. Everyone else seems to be doing this. This message is okay for everybody else, but not for us. I got about a minute remaining, ladies and gentlemen. We'll pick this up on Saturday. But the bottom line is, black folks are going to have to figure out a way to stop being the odd man out. We're the odd man out. And it's tired. It's tired. Any closing remarks, Captain, anything else?
Nothing else to add. Nothing else to add. Well said, sir. Well said. Tremendous job.
All right, I'm going to the gym to sweat this out. Sweat out all that racism to deal with the man. All right, folks, it's been real. We'll be back again on Saturday for our double entendre, double duty, double matinee show, double feature show, The Grindhouse. Check us out on Saturday starting at 6 p.m. with Daryl B., myself, and the captain. As always, an absolute pleasure. This is Feeling Good, Nina Simone Remix. See you guys on Saturday.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.